are listening to the AccuScience Podcast, featuring AccuScience Laboratories President and CEO, Dr. Harry Bazzotti.
Hello, everybody. My name is Angelo Malone, and I'd like to welcome you to the newest episode of the AccuScience Labs Podcast. I'm here with AccuScience Labs President and CEO, Dr. Harry Bazzotti. Welcome, Dr. Bazzotti.
Thank you, Angelo. I'm very excited that we have a very, very special guest today.
Absolutely. We are very lucky to have the Florida Commissioner of Agriculture, Ms. Nikki Fried, with us today. Ms. Fried, we're going to be very respectful of your time today and get right into the interview. You've been quoted as saying previously that marijuana is medicine. As a testing lab, we couldn't agree more. Can you tell us why you believe this to be true?
Well, because it is. I'm somebody who has traveled all across the country and actually even overseas, talking to patients about their conditions and what their lives were like before they had access to medicinal cannabis. And it is just unbelievable the type of stories that I have been hearing. People being able to get out of bed because they're not so drowsy from some other type of pharmaceutical drug. And being able to walk again and have a normal way of life. And I always tell the story that my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and I found out about it 2 days after my election, and that she was having an emergency surgery on that following Monday, and then had to go through some pretty heavy rounds of chemo and then radiation afterwards. And after her first two chemo treatments, it was devastating to listen to her, to hear her as she's on the floor, unable to get up and has no strength and no energy and is sick as a dog, and telling me that she doesn't know, in tears, telling me that she doesn't know if she's going to be able to continue on getting the chemo. And my sister and I were able to get her onto the registry, get her, cannabis, both for before her treatments and then afterwards. And it was literally life-saving. So I have seen it firsthand. I've heard the stories, and marijuana, cannabis is medicine.
Absolutely, especially with that personal story, having it tied so closely. And you've been able to see how it's actually had a medicinal help to your mom.
Yep, without a doubt. And hundreds of patients too. My 91-year-old grandmother had a boyfriend who had Parkinson's and would have these horrible tremors all the time. And we too got him onto the registry, and he would take a couple of hits of a vape pen, and all of a sudden it would significantly decrease his tremors. And It was fantastic just watching.
So obviously the movement for legalization has a personal meaning to you. Why is it also important for the state of Florida to have it? And why do you believe there's such a pushback from politicians for its use?
This is such an easy decision for our state. You know, not only is the public support there, we know that 71% of Floridians voted for medical. And the support even for full legalization is well above 60%, the constitutional threshold. And why I believe this is so essential to every aspect of our state. One, economic development. We had the governor just raise our taxes by over $1 billion yesterday. And to know that we can bring in such capital to our state once we can actually tax some of the products and not tax it like California, or tax it like other states to make the industry fail. But the same sales taxes and the same taxes that we see on other products that we buy. So one, it's taxable revenue for our state that can be used for affordable housing, education, infrastructure, new clean jobs, unbelievable. Then as selfishly, having our farmers be able to grow this as an alternative crop, giving them another option. We know the citrus industry has really been decimated over the last decade, and so many of our smaller farmers have really been hurt by some unfair trade practices. So giving them another alternative crop is a huge win for our farmers. Then we've got the social justice aspect. And I, as a past public defender, saw way too many times that my clients that were typically Black and brown were targeted in their communities and were arrested for simple possession charges, or sometimes for just, quote unquote, the smell of cannabis was detected, and then there was probable cause that came afterwards, and there was always some other criminal activity that the officers were arresting them on. So you've got criminal justice aspect, getting Black and brown individuals out of our jail system and giving them back, you know, back into society and an opportunity for success. And then you decrease the cost of our police and our public defenders and state attorneys and our court system when you're not putting these individuals into our courts and into the jail system and into the criminal justice system. And then you have the reduction of our healthcare costs. Pharmaceutical drugs is the highest percentage of what our healthcare companies pay out, and that's the greatest overhead cost. And so you get people to utilize, cannabis in a more holistic manner and natural. You're getting people off of pharmaceutical drugs, even simple pain relievers. People would rather have a pill that's natural, that's cannabis, than taking even Tylenol and Advil, which have long-term impacts if you use it too often, too frequently. So again, it's a win-win-win for our state, and it's something that needs to happen. And why I think there's pushback, I think one, you have a lot of people that don't still understand all of these different moving parts.
Right.
You also have a huge Republican donor base of an older generation who's still back into the Nancy Reagan, say no to drugs time period, still believe that, marijuana is going to make people crazy. And so you have, unfortunately, some leadership in our legislature who are still very conservative and are reliant on a lot of this donor money that are pushing back. And even still, our governor has said legalization will not happen under his watch.
Well, we have seen progress over the past decade, right, for Florida. First, the legalizing CBD oil in 2014, expanding the medical program in 2016, and then recently the inclusion of smokable flower. There are still issues, though, with THC caps, which have been problematic. But what do you think needs to be done to get adult use legalization?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I don't think the legislature is going to do it. Okay. I think the only reason why they did it back in 2016 was to prevent it from being on the ballot and trying to minimize people coming out to the ballot boxes because of marijuana. So I don't think that this legislature is going to take such a drastic chance again and by legalizing in the next session. So we have then at 2 points. One is a constitutional amendment on the 2022 ballot. There are two ballot initiatives that are waiting for the Supreme Court to rule whether or not that their language is appropriate and get onto the ballot. We should have heard back from the Supreme Court forever ago. So I don't know what the holdup is at this point. I hope it's certainly that they're not just purposely prolonging it and to the point that these groups can't get the signatures. I certainly hope that the Supreme Court of Florida isn't playing politics.
Right.
That would be very heartbreaking. But if that is the case and they can't get onto the 2022 ballot, the next option is to have a Democratic governor who will force the legislature to pass some kind of legalization bill. And then the third option is to focus our time and attention on D.C. and getting some of the wheels moving up in D.C. again.
I love that. So going back to the THC caps, and you addressed a little bit of this, there's 10% cap on smokable flower and about 60% cap on other products. You've mentioned joining lawmakers, that lawmakers refer to as reefer madness. Can you tell us what is meant by that?
Yeah, they still think in the legislature, and it's not everybody, but it certainly is leadership, that believe that when somebody smokes too much or has access to too heavy of potency, that they become crazy and that they have psychosis. And, so they brought in the House this session, brought in a whole bunch of doctors, or I don't even know if they were real doctors, but, but certainly, people that came and testified about, the psychosis that people get. There's 510,000 of us that are on the registry in the state of Florida. They didn't ask a single one of the patients to come and testify because I have yet to hear a single patient say, I smoked too much last night. I really think that we need to cap the potency levels. that's just not a thing, And so it's pretty remarkable. So they just don't understand it. And even the governor doesn't understand it. He was quoted in the paper saying, this stuff is definitely not, it is definitely a lot stronger than the stuff that people were smoking back when I was in college. And we don't even know what's in this stuff. And I wanted to be like, Governor, if we don't know what's in this stuff, it's because your Department of Health isn't testing it. Sure. This is such a false, narrative. And we do know what's in it. Groups like yours and others across the state are testing what's in our products. And certainly would much rather buy my products from one of our licensed dispensaries than from the dealer down the street, where you have no idea what's in it.
Right.
And because the truth should be told, if people want to smoke weed, they're going to find a way to smoke weed. I mean, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
Here. That is a common thread, you know, for generations, that it is easier to get your hands on marijuana than it is alcohol if you are 21 and under.
Sure. Well, as a testing laboratory, obviously, we understand the need for testing of cannabis-related products. Why do you believe it's important for labs like ours who test cannabis-related products to thrive in Florida?
Well, it's certainly one of the missing components right now, you know, that we don't, that there isn't, you know, that we've been spending so much time on trying to figure out this testing component. And it is so important because, again, you have patients who are trusting what they're buying, that they don't have lead and there's not pesticides and fertilizers and other chemicals that are on the products. And because they're putting it into their body for health and wellness, and to make their lives better, the last thing we want is for these, you know, these patients to get sick.
Right.
And we also know the same thing happens that, you know, I get reports all the time that there's mold on flower. And so without having testing though, and standards for testing, that we can go back to the dispensaries and say, you can't sell this stuff. This stuff has mold on it, or there's still remnants of pesticides or fertilizers or other chemicals. And not just on the flower, but obviously in the cartridges and in the other tinctures and other devices as well.
So what do you think it'll take to kind of help everything move along politically to get this finalized and legalized?
I think the more and more we talk about these issues, the more it becomes part of the dining room table. I mean, now my holiday dinner between my 91-year-old grandmother, whose boyfriend smoked pot, my mom, who used it during, you know, her chemo treatment, my sister, who works for one of the dispensaries, I am who I am. My fiance was one of the founders and CEOs of one of the original, you know, marijuana companies in the state of Florida. Our dinner table all of the conversations are very interesting, to say the least. But I think the more and more people are talking about this and talking about it on mainstream, which is why I put out my video 2 weeks ago showing my marijuana card.
Right.
Because the more we talk about it, the more we normalize it and put a face with the movement and put the face with the patients who are utilizing it and why we're utilizing it. You know, I've been very open and honest that I have suffered from sleep apnea since my college time. And I walk the halls every night. You know,
right.
If I had a collective 5 hours of sleep on a given night, I was a big winner for the next day.
Right.
But I refuse to take over-the-counter drugs. I refuse to take the sleep aids. They make me groggy the next day. I've heard all these horror stories about the Ambiens and people getting into cars and driving. And I would much rather, you know, take an edible at night and sleep through the evening and get up the next day. And so when you start having common sense conversations, I think that starts to really change the dialogue and hopefully gets to these elected officials who have to listen to their constituents, and their constituents are in favor of it.
Well, Ms. Fried, we really appreciate the work that you're doing out there for the cause, and we truly appreciate you taking out the time to be on our podcast today.
Absolutely. Well, keep up the great work out there. And this, again, conversations like this and people like you who are spreading the word and the message out there. Every single day we are making a difference and changing somebody's minds. And I just say to anybody out there who is still hesitant on supporting the cannabis movement, go talk to any family member or friend. I'm guaranteeing you that you know somebody who has or would have benefited from the use of medicinal marijuana.
Absolutely. We couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for the work that you do, and take care. We'd love to have you back at a future date.
Without a doubt. That would be fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Dr. Bizzotti, Ms. Fried had some wonderful answers on the need for medical marijuana to continue to grow in Florida, not only for business, but for the medical advantages. We see the law change and evolve on specifics to regulations, such as the THC caps that we mentioned earlier. How important, though, is it for labs to be up to date on laws and regulations to make sure you're informing your clients?
Yeah, it is very important, Angelo. Not only we need to be aware of all the laws and regulations, and we have to make, my philosophy is we have to make the life easier for our clients. Whatever we could do to make a life easier for them, we need to do it. And part of this podcast is we are not limiting it in, to the laboratory issues. We are getting guests from all over. And again, the purpose of this is to inform our clients, basically. I know that all of them are extremely busy, so whatever it takes for us to get to achieve that. And I want to thank you, Commissioner Fried. We really appreciate it. It's been an honor for all of us. And we are welcome to AccuScience anytime you're in the area. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And that concludes this episode of the AccuScience Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the AccuScience Podcast. Find us on the web at AccuScienceLabs.com.